is the Queensland Country Hour with Amy Phillips on ABC Radio Queensland.
A very good afternoon. Cotton Australia and Grain Producers Australia say they've had enough and want government regulators and enforcement agencies to get tough on widely reported spray drift incidents this cotton growing season. It's cost the industry millions already, apparently. In fact, anecdotally, some Border River growers, they didn't want to come on the program, but said they have cotton fields that are now potentially unharvestable due to the airborne movement of ag chemicals outside of the target paddock that they were meant to go on. Now, that's further to large-scale spray drift that hit up to about 30,000 hectares of cotton on the eastern Darling Downs late last year. We reported on that on the Country Hour last month. Now, in that instance, the chemical was 2,4-D, which kills plants by changing the way certain cells grow, and it's commonly used to control weeds, of which, if you heard yesterday's Country Hour program, there's plenty of them around. Now, Michael Murray is the General Manager of Cotton Australia. He joins me on the program to chat further. Good afternoon to you.
Hi, Amy.
You say the problem is widespread this year. It's in valleys such as the Darling Downs, St George District, Dirranbandi, Mungindi, Gwydir, Lower Namoi, Walgett and Macquarie Valley. Have you ever seen it this widespread?
Certainly not for a number of years. We'll go back maybe to the 2016 season. It was certainly bad there. Whether it was worse or a little better, hard to tell. But this is the worst in recent times.
Why is the damage so detrimental to cotton and its yields?
Cotton is a susceptible crop to these group 4 herbicides. Grapes and tomatoes and others are also susceptible, but obviously, we have a lot of area where we grow cotton that is also areas of broadacre farming where farmers might quite legitimately be using these formulations to control weeds. So it's that intersection, and if the chemicals are not applied correctly according to label conditions, they can be extremely damaging to cotton crops.
So is it likely that the people spraying in adverse weather conditions that will see this spray instead of falling onto the crop, hanging in the air and moving completely up to, tens of kilometres in some cases, is it likely that they're broadacre farmers, so farmers from within the industry?
I certainly don't want to make this one industry versus another with ag, but I guess the reality is it's people out there spraying weeds that are growing in their fallows. And look, they may be cotton growers, they may be other grain producers, they may be anyone, but whoever it is, if they apply it according to label conditions and apply it with all care, they're a very handy chemical. So I don't think anyone wants to lose overall access to these chemicals, but they have to be applied according to label conditions and with full responsibility.
What are you asking regulators to do?
Well, in the short term, we just want regulators to be out and about and just checking that people are applying chemicals in accordance with the labels condition. Now, there's rules about the type of nozzles you should be using. There's rules about the wind speeds that should be around. And quite importantly, there's rules about not spraying during inversion conditions. And inversion conditions over summer tend to happen at night. And it's when those inversions exist that widespread chemical drift can occur with very, very small particles moving over, as you say, literally tens of kilometres and therefore spreading over tens of thousands of hectares.
So what do you want regulators to do? Cotton Australia and Grain Producers Australia have come together saying that they want tougher government regulation and enforcement. What will that look like ideally for you?
Yep. Short term, boots on the ground, actually checking that people are doing what they should be doing, keeping the correct records and the like. Longer term, we're just starting a process talking to our growers about what do they think will be most effective. But one idea that's been repeated many times and seems to be currency is that if you want to apply these group 4 chemicals during certain months and maybe restricted to certain geographical areas, you'll have to apply for a permit. And applying for those permits will require some other conditions such as mandatory neighbour notification, maybe a register of where you bought your chemical from, and then a register on how you've used it so that there's a way to track. Also, we want from now on everyone to be making use of these WAN towers that have been set up as a joint project between the Grains Research and Development Corporation and the Cotton Research Development Corporation. 100 towers are either up and operating or close to up and operating. There may be a few that are still to be commissioned across that cotton belt of Queensland, cotton and grain belt of Queensland and New South Wales. And they're a great tool to let you know with high degree of accuracy whether these very dangerous inversion conditions exist.
If there was to be a chemical register of which some of these group four chemicals, if you were to purchase them, you would need to obviously go through that process. Who would be responsible for keeping that information? Would it be the point of sale?
Well, I think the actual, it could be numerous. And there's talk about something a little bit like the in the transport space, the chain of responsibility. So those people selling the chemicals, the resellers, you know, they may well have to keep a record of who they sold it to. They may also be obliged to provide certain advice to the users about how that should be used. Obviously, the growers and the contractors who may be applying the chemical, they'll have a responsibility to keep records. The growers, under one scenario, would have to notify all their neighbours. And, of course, the regulators in Queensland, Biosecurity Queensland, you know, they need to be prepared to get out and check compliance with those rules.
I'm speaking with Michael Murray. He's the General Manager of Cotton Australia. If you've got a question for Michael or a comment to make on spray drift, a huge issue this year, 0487 993 222, to the point where some Border River growers say they might walk away from picking some of their fields due to spray drift across it. Do you have to notify neighbours at this at the moment when you're going to conduct spraying next door?
Well, it's a little bit of a yes and no. Mm-hmm. If people are fully accredited through our cotton industry, my BMP, Best Management Practice Program, yes, we ask that they fill out a neighbour notification on their sprays. But as a general rule, for the vast majority of chemicals and certainly group fours, no, there's no requirement for neighbour notification. In the past, for example, when endosulfan was in common use, mm-hmm. yes, under the law, there was a requirement for mandatory neighbour notification. So there is precedent, but you know, under the law, it doesn't exist at the moment.
What about precedents when it comes to prosecutions, both through the likes of Biosecurity Queensland or private civil action? It seems like it's very seldom that there's been successful outcomes for affected parties. Why is that?
Look, it is really, really difficult when the damage has been caused under these inversion conditions. Under circumstances where, you know, a immediate neighbour has drifted on straight onto a neighbour's crop or maybe across one field, you know, there's a real opportunity. Well, under many circumstances, you can actually identify who was at fault, and it's, you know, relatively clear as any of these legal issues can be. When it's an inversion condition and the spray may have been applied 20 or 30 kilometres away, there's no guarantee that, you know, there was only one person putting out spray that night. It is understandably virtually impossible to, with the, you know, evidence required by law, to be able to say that the damage that occurred on my crop was caused by the action of that person who literally could have been 20 or 30 kilometres away and may have been, you know, one of many spraying that night. So that is really, really difficult. There is possibility in the future that there may be ways to trace particular chemical batches. You know, they may have some sort of marker in it, and you may be able to identify that, you know, it was only from that batch that affected. So that's stuff that may come about in the future, but right now, to be honest, it is virtually impossible and very frustrating for both those people affected and for the regulators. But that's why we're asking for the regulators and the compliance people to focus on making sure that people who are actively putting out these sprays are following the label conditions.
Do you think they're going to increase their enforcement?
Look, we're hopeful. We're certainly in discussions with Biosecurity Queensland. I'll be having another conversation with them early next week. We're hopeful to see something, but you know, at the moment, that's in their court.
How close to the wind is your industry, the broadacre industry, coming to losing the use of the likes of 2,4-D as an example?
Really hard question to answer just how close it is, but there's no doubt that if years like this were to continue, the pressure would build. And I don't think there's certainly there may be the odd person, there's always an exception, but generally speaking, nobody is wanting to see a loss of complete access to this chemistry. It's an incredible important part for all of broadacre agriculture's use of chemicals. Plays a very important role in weed control. I think we all want to keep it. And I think the very fact that, an organisation like Grain Producers Australia and their members are seeing that something has to change, because there is a concern that it could be lost if these sort of losses continue. But that's not the outcome that we're looking for.
Overall, we're about to hear from a Central Highlands grower and a Condamine grower about the new wand towers, why they're using them, and how they've already helped in detecting inversion. How much emphasis is the industry going to put on these new towers, which we'll hear more from in a moment?
I think they are an extremely important tool for people to ensure that they are operating within the label conditions. You can simply go online and you can see with a high degree of accuracy whether or not there's inversion conditions in your particular area. There's other ways to tell whether there's an inversion or not, but this is probably the simplest and easiest way. And everyone, before they go out to put out these group four herbicides, should be jumping on the one site and checking what are the conditions, what are the predictions for the upcoming conditions when things have changed. And you just can't say, for example, start spraying at 7 o'clock at night because no inversion conditions exist and think that you can spray for 12 hours straight. You need to be keeping an eye on what are the conditions and adjusting your operations accordingly.
And other than the fact that spray drift has set back some of the plants in their growing potential, what's the season looking like?
I think generally people probably would like to see a little bit more sunshine, a little bit more warmth, hearing sort of mixed stories on crops. But look, we think we're going to end up with around about a 5 to 5.1 million bale crop, reasonably short of a record, but still a well above average crop. We hope the rest of the season's kind. It is really disturbing to hear in your introduction that some growers think that they may not be picking some fields because of phenoxy damage. And if your crop gets hit once early in the season, it's got a chance to grow through it. But we are hearing that people have been hit 3, 4, 5 times, and that really starts to punish the plant. And it's just very, very sad if some people have been damaged so much that they may not even put the pickers in.
Wow. So have you adjusted those yield potential figures because of spray drift at all?
Not at this stage, but we'll just see as the next month or two progresses, and we might be changing our yield predictions. We'll just have to watch that space.
Michael Murray, General Manager of Cotton Australia, thank you for your time.
No, my pleasure, Amy.
It is nearly 20 past 12.
The Queensland Country Hour on ABC Radio Queensland.
Right. Well, as Michael Murray said, the incidents of spray drift are avoidable. And that's why this new tool, which we just touched on, will help growers and contractors make sure they aren't spraying during unfavourable weather conditions. A network of towers from central Queensland to the New South Wales-Victorian border are currently being turned on. They're called wand towers, and they detect a specific weather phenomena called inversion. Researchers from the Cotton and Grains Research Development Corporations have been working hard on this project for 6 years. Megan Hughes sat down with CRDC R&D Manager Susan Mass and Emerald Cotton Grower Renee Anderson to find out how they work.
The surface temperature inversion occurs when air temperature increases with height from the ground surface, which is the opposite of what normally happens during the day. So the temperature profile is inverted. And so this results in a layer of cool, still air being trapped below warmer air. What the research found is that there are times when there is a technical temperature inversion, so the temperatures are inverted, but the turbulence and mixing was the same as a typical daytime condition. And so what that's really, this research has helped us understand, is we really need to start thinking in terms of turbulence and not just focus on the vertical temperature difference. So the hazardous inversion is taking this into account. So during a hazardous inversion, air movement is much less turbulent than during the day. The airborne droplets can remain concentrated in the inversion layer for long periods of time. and the direction and distance that airborne droplets will move within an inversion is unpredictable and will vary depending on the surrounding landscape. So this new technology is really helping us to communicate when these hazardous inversions are occurring. We're looking for spray applicators to be accessing the wand system as part of their decision making to really indicate when and stop spraying when there's a hazardous inversion.
With the hazardous inversion, is the problem that people are spraying during it or before it as well?
The problems occur when people are spraying during a hazardous inversion. The droplets are, because there's no turbulence, the droplets are hanging in the air. So that means that importantly, they're not going to the target weed or pest that people are targeting, but they're hanging in the air. So spraying during a hazardous inversion really is a big risk for drift and a big concern.
And it sounds like it's also inefficient anyway.
It's very inefficient. And look, there are some weed species that, with that lower dose, are more likely to produce more weed seeds. So you're potentially actually creating more of a weed problem for yourself.
When it comes to spray drift, how far can it travel?
So spray drift in an inversion can travel very long distances. There's reports of, 10 to 40 kilometre type distances. It's travelling with that cool air, and certainly with some of the widespread inversion damage that we've seen across the industry this year, that suggests that some of that's been very long movement.
How big of an issue is it for the industry?
Spray drift is a real concern, not just for the cotton industry, but for whole of ag. Obviously, it's inefficient, and it really points to problems about weed control and resistance selection. But there's obviously, the huge issue of drift damage. And we've seen, millions of dollars in damage this season. But there's also, I guess, the important, the social license. And it's important that we're using pesticides responsibly.
Are people taking up using these towers?
We're really excited by the response that there has been. We were looking at over the last few weeks, 100 new users, since its launch per week. And certainly that has jumped in the last little bit. And I think the other day there was actually 100 new users in one day. So it's really exciting. And the feedback that I've had from people is that they're really positive about it. It's really helping with that decision to spray.
How many towers have you got?
The investment is for 100 towers, and they will all be in place by mid-February, which is really exciting. The original plan was to have them rolled out sooner, but obviously it's been a very wet year, and it's been challenging in some areas to get those towers stood up. But we're looking at mid to late February to having the system in place.
As a grower, it's really helpful to have a snapshot on what's happening. We've got a weather station here on the farm, but to be able to open the wand page and really quickly identify if things are going to change or if you're in a surface temperature inversion or a hazardous inversion, it shows up quite bright red. So it's really quick snapshot of to make a really sound decision on whether you should be applying chemistry or not.
Before these towers, how would you try and make that decision?
We were always checking the weather anyway. So we've got weather stations on both of the farms. It's something that you're monitoring before, during and after a spray anyway. But this provides an extra layer of, awareness on what's actually happening.
Where you are around Emerald, has there been big issues with spray drift?
The last few years, probably not to the same extent. We've been in a really dry period, and weeds aren't germinating at the same rate as if in a much wetter year. So this is a preventative measure that has been put in place. Growers are really excited about this technology. It provides us an extra layer of information.
That is Renee Anderson. She's a cotton grower at Emerald. You're going to hear how her cotton is looking in a moment. And also the Cotton Research and Development Corporation R&D manager, Susan Mass, speaking with Megan. I've got some text messages. The label is the law, says somebody. Be sure to follow the five commandments of best practice. The likes of the wand weather readers doesn't mean you have a license to spray. Please follow the rules. Thank you for your text. 0487 993 222. That's exactly what Ben Taylor, he's a condamine grower, thinks also. He's got a wand tower on his property, actually nicely right beside his shed. He's encouraging everyone not only to utilise the new app, but also adopt best spray practice.
It does rely on you checking the app, but it's fair to say that most operators should be fully aware of what they're doing and should be fully aware of what spray conditions could or possibly do. So you certainly don't want to be ignorant to good spray practices. It's just another tool in the toolbox to be able to use and make a decision, particularly around, you know, your last load for the day. So we sort of have a general rule that we don't spray, mix anything up after 4:30 in the afternoon. If you push for time and need to cover country, well, you might make a decision looking at the app and it predict 2 hours out when a inversion event is about to occur. So you might push the boundaries on time and mix up a load later in the afternoon based on what the wand tells you.
And you've been farming for long enough now without any digital tools to tell you when an inversion's happening. Have you been noticing that it's been pretty accurate with when you're looking around at the conditions and you think that there's an inversion? Is it also telling you that there's one?
Yeah. I only really experienced it recently where I was diligently watching it for that reason, that exact reason, and it was bang on. So I was about to turn around and do possibly one more run, desiccating some sorghum at roughly 5:30 in the afternoon, I think it was. And I didn't, because I turned around and next thing, yeah, there was my dust layer hovering across the crop. And when I looked at the app, the wand app, it was bang on. That was exactly the time that it was going to show that it was there.
Can you scroll back through the app and see historical inversion data?
There is data to go back for the day, and you can see when an inversion account an aversion event has occurred. Mm-hmm. The history does tell of that.
It's Ben Taylor. He's a condamine grower with a wand right on his property. Put wand, WAND, into your search engine and log on, and you'll find all of the latest weather from your part of the world, up to 100 towers being turned on very, very soon. Now, of course, what do you do when you suspect a spray drift incident in Queensland? You need to call Biosecurity Queensland and the APVMA if you suspect off-label use of product. In relation to that large-scale spray drift event that hit up to 30,000 hectares of cotton on the eastern Darling Downs that was late last year, we have sought an update from Biosecurity Queensland as to where their investigation is up to, and they responded to say that they're looking into a range of matters. However, these can be lengthy processes. Michael Murray from Cotton Australia explained that a little earlier to us. They say it's too early to speculate about possible compliance outcomes.